The World Cup is in Brazil this year, but the lead-up to the 2014 FIFA World Cup tournament has not been very much fun so far. Problems with infrastructure, corruption, busted deadlines. In one city, there's a state of emergency from threats of Amazon River flooding. Now, to some uninitiated Americans, these sorts of problems may be the most understandable thing about World Cup soccer. Don't worry, we're going to help you out. What are Americans to take from Team USA being slotted into what's being called the death group, a bracket with all kinds of powerhouse teams? And by the way, it's in the middle of the possible flood zone. The very British Roger Bennett, one of the two hosts of the Men in Blazers podcast, believes in all seriousness, and that's a real stretch for the acerbic deadpan Bennett, that this World Cup might be America's moment in more ways than one.
This could be the year that America are going to win it all.
No, I feel like you're patronizing.
No. To be candid,
they don't have a chance.
On
right?
our show, Men in Blazers, we have declared that this is the year that America are going to win it all. But we're always eternally optimistic. You could say they've been handed the devil's hand.
Yeah, I mean they're in the death group, the group that has the
it's worse than that, John.
Yeah,
America, they're a joyous team. I mean, the team has never been so deep. There's never been so many options. They have this wonderful coach, a German legend as a player, Jurgen Klinsmann, who fills everyone, the players, his coaches, everybody, with optimism. And so there should be an uplifting sense of opportunity at this World Cup, apart from the gods of FIFA have given the US team. Germany, second-ranked team in the world. Portugal, third-ranked team in the world.
Ouch.
And the team Ghana, who have defeated them at the last two World Cups. But it's worse than that, John. They've given them 9,000 miles of travel through three ecosystems, hot, bloody hot, and Amazonian rainforest, hot, where the good news is we've never lost the game where we played in an Amazonian rainforest. But the travel, the teams, and the kind of ecosystems that they're going to play and make it a trifecta. We say it's like the Hunger Games in cleats. But this is a US team that has collective will, has incredible team belief, has an incredible optimism about it. And Jurgen believes, and I have to believe with him, that they could go down there and shock some people.
Sounds like you're pretty close with Jurg.
We
call him Jurgi?
Do I? You know what? I never look him in the eye.
Right?
Never look in the eye. Yeah. He's a wonderful bloke. For a footballer who's won everything, the World Cup, the European, everything, he's a very sophisticated, cosmopolitan, articulate kind of man of the present. And I've been in this country since 1994, since the World Cup was here in America.
I remember that.
Everyone went to it. It's still the best attended World Cup of all time. But few people watched it if they weren't at the games. I remember trying to get a game in a bar where it was just me and the barbacks who were watching. No one else cared. World Cup to World Cup, the event's popularity has climbed. Whatever the United States do, and in all seriousness, I hope they do remarkably well. I think this is going to be the World Cup, which will be a real kind of vendepunkt, a real turning point for the game in this country.
Who else do we need to be looking at? I mean, I, for instance, follow Spain. Because they actually have a chance of winning.
Well, Spain are a remarkable team. For years when I was young, they were just ultimate sporting chokers. They turn up with their Jose's, their Enrique's, their Miguel's, beautiful looking boys. They'd always be highly fancied. They'd thrash someone 7-1, 8-1 in the opening game. We'd say, this year, Spain are going to do it. And then in the first elimination round, they'd wilt and
choke.
Spain have beaten that. They've become this beautiful purveyor of the game. They've won the World Cup and either side two European championships. So to win back-to-back-to-back tournaments would be an unbelievable feat. Germany, the other European powerhouse, really are relishing this opportunity. There's a statistic. No European team has ever won the World Cup in South America. You'll hear that a heck of a lot. The honest truth is there's only been two World Cups since 1950 in South America, so it's just not such a daunting statistic. But Argentina, phenomenal team. Lionel Messi, beautiful offensively, incredible kind of murderer's row of elite talent. That would be a feat to see them win the World Cup in their rival Brazil. If you look at this Brazil team, they are expected to win. In 1950, they last hosted. They lost in the final game. Nelson Rodriguez, the great playwright, a gentleman who's probably even more hyperbolic than me, John, he called it our Hiroshima. He said, in a country with no wars,
God.
That loss is a, he called it an open wound that none of the five subsequent wins have healed. He called it our Hiroshima. Can you imagine that? For players to have to take the field knowing that they have to avoid that.
That's outrageous. I mean, it's also the case that in Brazil this year, there may be a lot of people rooting against the home team. There's so much bad feeling about the money spent on the stadium.
It's so complicated. Brazil desperately wants this World Cup so that the country can be known for something more than footballers and supermodels. It wants to deliver a message to the world, but the cities, as we speak, are kind of frothing over with social unrest. There's an incredible amount of anger at the amount of money that I wouldn't even use the word invested, I'd say be wasted on this tournament. Incredible amount of corruption, incredible amount of infrastructure promises unfulfilled. I was at the Confederations Cup, the dry run for the World Cup in 2013, when the protests just flared up. And it was fascinating because the cities would burn themselves down during games. You'd watch football being played and there'd be tear gas hovering in a cloud over the game. But when Brazil played, the country still stopped. And when they took the field, they'd play the first verse of the national anthem. And FIFA would stop it as they do any first verse, done. And then the people would stand up in the stadium and a cappella sing the second verse. And the players, they'd weep during the national anthem, and then they would attack all comers like a pack of hungry dire wolves. And so watching them will be unbelievable. If they go deep into the tournament, Brazil will love them. If they go out early, John, I mean, the social unrest may well boil over, and Brazil will deliver a very different message to the world than the one it wants.
What about the sleepers? Uruguay, going to be a Cameroon? How about North Korea?
And North Korea will have a job trying to win this tournament, yeah, seeing as they didn't qualify for it.
Right.
I'm sad they didn't. They're an unbelievable football team. They still edit their games. So North Korea, on North Korean television, have still never leaked a goal. They edit out any goals the opponents score. It's a wonderful way to broadcast.
It is really interesting. Yeah.
The US should do that, to be honest. It would be amazing. The South Korea will be there. The Australia, not the greatest vintage. Uruguay have a phenomenal striker, Luis Suarez, who will stop at nothing to score goals. He's got more teeth than Anne Hathaway. Americans will remember he's the guy that saved the ball in the last World Cup with his hands to stop her.
Anne Hathaway was?
This guy, Luis Suarez, then presented the Oscars with James Franco.
He wasn't
very good.
Whoa.
And then the other team are Chile, who people are looking at and saying this could be a team that will move itself up to the elite of South American football, or Belgium. Coming out of Europe may prove that it's good for something else other than chocolate, Brussels sprouts, and serial killers.
Chocolate, Brussels sprouts, and serial killers.
That's what you think. I can read your mind. That's what you think of when you think of Belgium.
You don't have any friends in Belgium, I guess.
I love Belgium. Plastic Bertrand.
Yeah, I can tell. Roger, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on, John. Go USA.
Roger Bennett is one of the hosts of the podcast Men in Blazers. Roger and his partner Michael Davies will host Men in Blazers live on Broadway this Friday night. A night in conversation with the U.S. men's national team stars, past and present, right here in New York City.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.